KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report, your inside connection to everything sports at Fresno State, featuring Eddie Hughes and Fresno State Director of Athletics, Jim Bartko, 90.7 KFSR.
Good morning and welcome. It's a great day to be a Bulldog. I'm Eddie Hughes. We have a big game coming up today, Fresno State football at Washington, the number six team in the nation. The Bulldogs last week coming off a tough loss at Alabama, 41-10. But while it was a tough loss, the Bulldogs also showed some positive signs. They got the offense going. They moved the chains, 18 first downs. I don't know many teams on Alabama's schedule this year that are going to have that many first downs, as tough as that defense is. And I think for a young Bulldogs team, a team coming off a tough season last year, a team with a brand new coach in Jeff Tedford, a former Bulldog quarterback and assistant coach himself, now the head man. I think signs are looking up for the Bulldogs. We saw Damari Scott really played well at the wide receiver position. We saw Chase and Virgil do some good things at quarterback. We saw even on the defensive side, Jeffrey Allison, the sophomore linebacker, came up and really played physical, made some great plays, had about 14 tackles on the day. So I think Bulldog fans have to look at that. Yes, there are no moral victories. Yes, a team like Fresno State, where they've beat big-name teams in the past, teams from those so-called Power 5 conferences, you don't want to admit to a moral victory. But at the same time, you can look at this considering all the other factors that the Bulldogs had coming into this season, had coming into this game, and you can say, hey, we lost the game, but we showed some signs that things are getting back to normal, getting back to the standards that we expect around Fresno State. And I think that's more of what the fans will look for today, visiting Seattle to take on the Washington Huskies. It's going to be another tough game. It's going to be a game where Washington's led by former Boise State coach Chris Peterson, who's obviously really been a nemesis over the years in the sides of Fresno State fans. He's always seemed to have the Bulldogs' number for the most part until, you know, Derek Carr's senior year in 2013, where we saw the Bulldogs beat Boise State here in Fresno. Then Chris Peterson moved on to Washington for that job. So it'll be interesting to see how this team follows up that Alabama game, if they can put another game together where they're on the national stage and they're competing hard, they're staying in there somewhat close, pulling off the upset. Perhaps it would obviously be even bigger for the Bulldogs, but I don't think that's necessary. You know, they don't necessarily have to win to show good signs and encourage this red wave to come out for the next home game on September 30th against Nevada. Obviously a bye week next week before that game, but it'll be an exciting one tonight, 6:30 p.m. at Washington. You can catch that on the Pac-12 network. But before we get into that game anymore, let's bring you some audio from Jeff Tedford, his weekly press conference, where he talks all about the matchup with Washington and what he's seeing from this Bulldogs team.
Coach, new week, new challenge, and an opponent that you know very well.
Yeah, great football team, obviously very well coached, and sixth-rate team in the country. And again, it's, you know, they're in the finals last year against Alabama, very competitive, but just really, again, you know, there's no holes there. You know, offensively they can hurt you in a lot of ways, and defensively they led the country in turnovers last year. They're very well coached, very diverse in what they do. Special teams is excellent. As I was walking in, I heard you talk about, you had to be talking about Pettis, about the punt returns, and very dangerous guy with that. And they just do a good job all the way around in every phase of the game.
From the game at Alabama, the other night, the experience your players had there, what they proved to themselves or what they learned about themselves, what did you see happen at Alabama that you think will prepare your team better for this challenge on Saturday?
Well, I think the speed of the game, as we adapted to the speed of the game, it's going to be very similar. You know, one of the things I was pleased with, you go into a hostile environment and we had one penalty all night, you know, and anytime you go on the road and 100,000 fans and the noise and the things like that going on, I thought we handled the procedure fine, because that's sometimes difficult to do. Again, it's going to be very loud at Washington, so we're going to need to do the same thing and not put us off schedule. You know, anytime you get false start penalties and things like that, you get off schedule. And so I thought we handled that well. But the speed of the game was a step up for sure. And as we adapted to that, it's going to be very similar this week.
Chris Peterson. I mentioned it. You two go way back. He was your receivers coach when you were the OC at Oregon. And I know you have great respect for who he is as a coach. When I watch his teams, what I see every year is discipline, discipline, discipline. They don't seem to make many mistakes. Does that up the ante for you guys to be as disciplined or more so than they are?
Not just because they are, which they are. And discipline is something that doesn't just happen on the field. It happens in everything that you do in a program. The day-to-day interaction from be it academics to being on time for things and all the little things, you know, and Coach P does a great job there with that. I was able to see that last year firsthand. And, you know, and so that's something that we talk about all the time. And I think the discipline that our team has shown in the first 2 weeks, I think we had three penalties the first game and one the second game. So our guys are making good decisions, and but you have to do that with a team like Washington that won't beat themselves because they are disciplined. You have to do the same thing, you know, and it's a goal no matter who we play.
Coach, are you concerned at all about how the team will stay with the physicality with Washington after getting beat up a little bit going up against the 300-pound guys that Alabama has on the line?
No, I mean we have 300-pounders too, you know, so it's not, you know, we're not 100% outmatched by any means, you know, but it's all the things that go into it. It's the quickness, it's the speed, all that, you know, but it's important to get recovery after a game like Alabama that was so physical, and there are a lot of heavy shots in that game. You know, a lot of guys did get, you know, bruised and battered a little bit, but that's what recovery's for. Yesterday we had a good day of recovery, and today they're off. And how we practice, we tend to recover really well toward the end of the week. And so, but it's going to be another physical game. There's no doubt about it.
Coach, through two games, what do you like about Chase and Virgil's play so far? What positives have you taken away?
Well, he's managed the game really well. He's made good decisions. He made one poor decision last week with the interception. But besides that, he's going to the right place with the ball. He's got getting guys into position, you know, whether it be with shifts and motions. And he's going to the right spot with the ball. And, you know, last week we had five drop balls. And that's not really on him. You know, he put the ball where it needed to be a lot of times. Not perfect by any means, but you know, you're playing against a great number one team in the country. Not many quarterbacks are going to be perfect ever, especially against the speed that they had. But I thought he did a really good job of managing our game plan. You know, our game plan was, you know, get the ball out of our hands and do some things versus their pass rush. And I thought he did an excellent job of that. And like I said, we haven't turned the football over besides that one toward the end of the game there. But he's making good decisions.
There's a couple throws that he missed that are easy for people to see, and that's very visible. You know, sometimes you forget or you overlook the good throws that he made that you alluded to that were dropped. So how do you kind of balance those two? I mean, has it been a bigger problem, the drops, or has it been a bigger problem, the throws that he hasn't made that were kind of relatively easy?
Well, no, in the first game, I think it was evident of the balls that he missed were pretty simple. And, you know, he had his eyes in the wrong place and was kind of confused about a coverage and then tried to get there late. Last week, though, you know, maybe he missed one ball that was evident, you know, the ball behind Rice as he's crossing the field, you know, but besides that, you know, he scrambled out and threw a beautiful ball to Jordan down the sideline that should have been caught for a big play. And, you know, made some other really good throws, you know, so he didn't miss guys, you know. Like the first game, he missed a couple that, you know, you think, wow, that's a pretty simple throw. But this game, that wasn't the case. You know, I thought he was fairly accurate with the football. You know, like I said, here or there, you know, no quarterback's going to be perfect in any game. I don't care who you're playing, you know. But he managed the game well and, for the most part, put balls where they needed to be.
Is it a conscious decision on your part to, when you remove him from the game, to do it after a positive, like a touchdown pass?
No, that's a good point, because if you did it after a negative play, then it could be construed a different way, you know. But that wasn't the case at all. It was after that we were going to get Marcus in, but then they went on a long drive and ate some clock on the last touchdown drive that they had, and so that's when we put Marcus in. But it wasn't a conscious effort, okay, there's a good play, let's pull him out now. It was more about time. Wanted guys to work through things, you know, work through adversity and come back and give them a chance to work through that, which I thought they did. You know, it's 13-7 in the second half, you know, and Alabama went on a long drive and, you know, scored a touchdown at the end, but played them fairly evenly, you know, down the stretch. And so if you don't give them the opportunity to work through it, if you make wholesale changes and guys start, you know, were we going to win the game at that point? No, we weren't. You know, the lead was too big, but it still gives our guys a chance. He's had starters in. It still gave our guys a chance to compete and overcome some things, and I think it was a good experience for us.
And I don't know if you'll answer this one, but do you anticipate it'll be the same this week with Chasen starting and getting the majority of the playing time?
Each week's a different week. You know, there's no set plan going into, you know, I'm never going to back ourselves into a corner and say after two series this guy's going in or whatever. You know, if guy's playing well and we're moving and we're doing things, then, you know, we'll let it roll. We'll see how the week of practice goes. Practice is big. You know, how they handle the game plan, what the game plan is. You know, again, Marcus has only been here a short amount of time, you know, so he's still, and then when you start game planning, you know, then things change a little bit too, because you start doing things with different formations and different plays and things like that. So it's how to manage a game plan as well. It's not just the base offense that goes on in game plan. So Marcus is still learning what we're doing.
Would you have liked to get Hokett more involved in that game, maybe some more carries early?
No, I mean we have four backs there. That anytime you have four backs, it's a challenge to get the ball in their hands. But we have four guys there that, if anything, I thought DeJounte, you know, we probably could have got him a little bit more involved. No, it's, we rotate those guys in and out depending whether it be play or whether it be how they're feeling or, you know, keeping them fresh and stuff like that. So Hokett got enough touches, and, you know, the guy that really didn't do as much was DeJounte, you know, that he did from the first game.
With a possession where Marcus was in there, you decided not to try to score at the end and let that time run off. Were you concerned that it would have been bad sportsmanship to use a timeout there and give Marcus that chance to punch it in?
Well, we're going to try to make a first down and then maybe spike it and get something done. But the play, you know, went to where we threw it out to the side and the clock ran out, you know. So, I felt at that point there is a certain amount of sportsmanship that goes into it. You know, Alabama toward the end wasn't really trying to, you know, put the throttle on us or anything like that. They were, they'd made some changes and we made some changes and things like that. You know, we had a deep ball called a couple plays before to get it down there. You know, and then he had to get rid of the football. He didn't have a chance to get it to him. But a little bit of both went into it.
And with Chasen, I know you've seen the development of a lot of quarterbacks over the years, and all of them probably have a turning point where they step up to a next level. Just looking at his last two plays, you take the timeout, it's third and long, you call the quarterback draw, he gets the first down, and then he throws a touchdown. Is there a potential that those last two plays for him could signal a shift in his development or a turning point where he really ups his game and starts at that level from here on out?
Well, I don't know if two plays are going to change and shift, you know. But, again, you go into an environment like that and you watch those guys on tape all week long, it can be pretty intimidating. You know, but he went in there with a clear conscience and played with confidence, and he was accurate with the football for most of the night, and again made good decisions, and so he didn't seem to be rattled at all with the environment, which was pretty impressive because it would be easy to do. It's not just when you go into the stadium. Remember, they watch tape all week long, and they see how good people are, especially Alabama and Washington, teams like that, and what they can do. And I thought he went in very, very poised. I didn't think he didn't seem nervous. He was good in pregame, and, you know, and I thought he played that way.
Coach, what concerns you most about Washington when you look at them on tape?
Just that every phase of their game is very solid. last year they led the country in turnovers and very solid on defense, very well coached. You're not going to trick them. They're very disciplined. They're fast. They're physical. Offensively, Jake Browning can hurt you in a lot of different ways. You know, he doesn't hurt you like Jalen Hurst could hurt you, but he does it in a lot of different ways. He's very smart. He makes very good decisions. They have some guys outside that can go. Pettis is a really good player. Miles Gaskin's a big-time back who can do a lot of things, very shifty. Chico McClasker, same way. He's a guy, that has a lot of speed. And so they're physical up front, on both sides of the ball. Their special teams are very solid. So every phase of the game, they're very, very solid. Great football team.
Obviously, game situations will dictate what happens as far as the offensive coaching and the defensive coaching. But how did you feel that you guys carried out your game plan and the execution of it from the players?
From last week, you're talking about?
Yeah, from last week.
As far as our game plan was concerned, I thought we carried it out. We carried it out well. Part of the thing last week was to move a lot and to get the ball out of our hands before their pass rush could get to us. And I thought we were able to do that. We were able to move the ball a little bit. Didn't make as many big plays down the field. But when you're playing a team like Alabama, if you're going to put the ball down the field, you have to hold it for longer. And they don't really allow you to do that. You look at Florida State. Florida State rushed for 40 yards against them. We didn't do much better. We rushed for 58. But I don't know how many. Maybe we had 17 first downs or something like that. And that's hard to do against those guys. So we try to keep our defense off the field, because it's a team game. And you can go out there and try to run plays, and you're three and out, and you're three and out, and you're three and out. And then your defense is on the field a long time. So our strategy in that game was to try to control the football a little bit and give our defense a rest.
You've been around a lot of great quarterbacks, and you saw Jake Browning up close last year, and he makes throws that a lot of other guys don't make, and people rave about his abilities. But for you, as you evaluate quarterbacks, what are the things you see in him that makes him extra dangerous?
He's the ultimate student of the game. He is very, very smart and very poised and very accurate throwing the ball. The intermediate balls, he's very, very accurate throwing it. He makes really good decisions with it. He knows exactly what the game plan is, spends a lot of time going through the game plan and understanding what they're trying to get done. He's a very poised guy, and doesn't get rattled at all. He's very solid. They're a big progression reading team, where you scan the field and go all the way across. And he may be one of the best progression passers that I've seen as far as working things from left to right all the way back across the field. He's been schooled with that very well. He understands what he's doing, and he's very accurate throwing the football.
I know that you're a big believer there are things that are more important than football, and you talk to your players about that at different times. And today is one of those days. It's 16 years ago, everything stopped. Football stopped. The world stopped. And one of your teammates here at Fresno State died that day in the Pentagon, Otis Vincent Tolbert. Is there something that you would like to share about him as a teammate, as a person, and what you think of on September 11th?
Well, yeah, obviously. When that happened, it was a few weeks that had gone by that I had learned that Otis was tragically killed in that, and that hit home pretty hard. Otis is a guy who was a great teammate. He was one of those guys that played his role, did it to the best of his ability. He always had a smile on his face, always worked very, very hard, and was a great part of our team and just an enjoyable guy to be around. And so, anytime that you have a teammate that, you go on, I hadn't talked to him for years, as typically what happens is everybody scatters and does their own thing. And I had no idea he was even doing that. And, it was very, very saddening to hear that he was a part of that, but he was an awesome guy and a great teammate. And I loved being around him every time I was around him.
That was Bulldogs head coach Jeff Tedford. Again, you can catch Fresno State at Washington tonight at 6:30 on the Pac-12 Network, or you can listen on 940 ESPN. should be a fun matchup. It should tell fans a lot of what to expect from this young Bulldogs team under a new coaching staff. And hopefully we'll see some fight from these Bulldogs the way we've seen the past two games against Incarnate Word in Alabama. I'm looking forward to it. I hope you are too. That's all the time we have for today. Thanks for listening, and please join us again next Saturday morning at 8:30 a.m. for the Fresno State Sports Report on KFSR. Follow us on Twitter at 907KFSRSports. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org.
KFSR presents the Fresno State Sports Report every Saturday morning at 8:30. For complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.